It's Marketplace Tech for Tuesday the 14th. I'm Adrian Hill in for Ben Johnson. One of the many, many questions raised by this week's mass shooting in Orlando, how best to alert people in emergency situations? The nightclub where the shooting occurred tried to use Facebook to warn people to get out and keep running. The French government has recently released a mobile app that will let people know of a suspected attack based on their geographic location. For more on the current capabilities of the U.S. government to issue terror alerts, we called up Brooke Liu. She's a professor at the University of Maryland and with the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So what tools are out there right now for terror alerts, for an individual to get a terror alert?
So the primary tool being used by the U.S. government are wireless emergency alerts, WEAs, and these are the 90-character text-like messages you get on your phone. You get a loud beeping sound, and then it will tell you what's happening, and it will give you a little bit of guidance on what you should do.
No, I've seen these, I think, with Amber Alerts and maybe with some weather alerts. Is that?
Yes. So it's all part of the same system. They can send out what are called presidential alerts, and those are for extremely catastrophic events like a 9/11.
Is there a way for those to be sort of geolocated to my building or my city or my location?
Absolutely. They are geocoded. Now, that technology is increasing every year. And so at first it was at the kind of county or by-county level. And now it's not at the building level, but it is getting better and better.
So there are also a number of private app developers out there right now working on their own terror alert systems. Is there room for both, or should this be the domain of the government?
There's a lot of ways to answer that, but the primary benefit with the government one is that you don't opt in. You automatically get them. It's kind of maybe a strike against these private sector ones. On the other hand, you know, they can probably innovate a lot quicker than the government.
What do you think the future of terror alerts might look like?
You know, people are becoming increasingly attached to their wearable technology. So I do really think that a lot of this is going to move. People actually crave face-to-face communication after terrorist attacks. So I don't think an app's ever going to be able to replace that human touch. I think people are still going to want to go back to the bread and butter when they think something really bad is happening and go make sure that their neighbor is safe and that their kids are safe.
Brooke Liu is a professor at the University of Maryland and with the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism. We reached out to the Department of Homeland Security to find out if it was possible to make those WEA alerts silent so that if you are hiding from attackers, the loud beep from your phone wouldn't tip them off. We learned that right now, all WEA messages must be preceded by the Emergency Alert System alert sound. Changes would have to go through the FCC. Emergencies were also top of mind at Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference yesterday. The company revealed an SOS addition to its Apple Watch, basically allowing users to instantly connect with local emergency services and then their emergency contact list. Apple also announced it would open up Siri to third-party app developers, allowing them to use Siri's voice control feature. Siri, do you play nicely with others?
I can't answer that.
I suppose we'll see if that changes. Microsoft stole some of the headlines from Apple's conference yesterday on news that it would buy the professional-centric social media site LinkedIn for more than $26 billion. It's the first significant acquisition by Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. For more, we reached out to Colin Gillis, Director of Research at BGC Financial. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So what do you think of the deal? Does it make sense?
Well, it's quite a sizable deal, right? $26 billion for a company that is certainly not the typical acquisition target for Microsoft. LinkedIn is the economic graph, right? It's the graph of, you know, the job paths that you could take to achieve a certain goal in life. And you compare it to Facebook, which is worth $325 billion. And I've always thought that the professional graph, the economic graph, you know, should be worth at least a certain percentage of Facebook's value. Now, they haven't monetized themselves to the degree that Facebook has. So I find it interesting that they're willing to sell themselves for this price of $26 billion.
So you think there was more potential here, perhaps, for LinkedIn?
Well, we've also seen some cracks in LinkedIn's business in the recent quarters, right? And so this is the give and take of it. You could see the stock's performance has been underwhelming, and their revenue streams have been slowing down. Now, that being said, they do have multiple diverse businesses. They have a strong management. But Microsoft's history of acquisitions is probably one of the worst in the industry, right? There's still concerns about, you know, whether this is going to be fruitful for Microsoft down the road.
What might this look like for people who use Microsoft or LinkedIn? How might this be realized?
So what will happen now is, you know, when you pop into your Outlook, you know, you could see that you have a meeting at 2 o'clock and that you know, both are friends with this person, and you could see the person's educational background. Perhaps you went to the same school. You'll be immediately aware of how your life overlaps with their life from a professional perspective. Yeah, that's useful, right? And we'll have to see if that becomes, you know, realized and to what degree this integration happens. Because on the one hand, if you're letting LinkedIn run themselves, you know, as a standalone unit, on the other hand, you're talking about, you know, deep integration into Microsoft's products, well, those two goals may be at opposite ends.
Colin Gillis is Director of Research at BGC Financial. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
One of the jabs making the rounds online after the announcement of the deal is that a LinkedIn tie-up with Microsoft sets the stage for the next generation of Clippy. Perhaps you remember the much-loathed, big-eyed Microsoft Assistant, shaped like a paperclip. It looks like you're writing a cover letter. Would you like help networking? I'm Adrienne Hill, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.